he was put into a girl with. There are these forces he was put into a girl, and these forces affect the forces that become physical in the physical world. But the source of it all is in the spiritual world. There are these forces in the spiritual world, and these forces affect the forces that become physical in the physical world. But the source of it all is in the spiritual world. And I just want to point out two things to you. For example, if you take the soul of man, it's completely invisible. We can't see the soul of man. The personality of man, which is the result of the soul of man, that is something that we can't see. The personality we at least know is there. The soul we know is there, that we are alive. But if the soul departs, then there is no life. Those are the things we know about the soul. Now, the soul belongs to the spiritual universe. And that is the only thing in the spiritual universe that comes down to the physical universe, comes down into man, as it is the soul. That comes down. Now, we've got all kinds of forces, and I gave you the example of the Niagara Falls. And then you've got the electricity, you've got the stove, and you say, well, the source of it all is the Niagara Falls. It is in altogether a different form. But we have got these worlds that exist between Hashem's heavens, so to say, which is the source of all, of everything that is upon earth. And then it comes down to earth, there are worlds and worlds and worlds, and everything that there is upon earth has its source in the spiritual universe. But as it comes down to each level, it changes according to the needs of that level. So when, by the time it comes down to us, it is altogether in a different form. And for us, it's impossible to trace back to what it is really in its origin. In spite of all that, we must know that the most sublime and most difficult ideas and concepts Hashem has given us that upon earth, that we've got some way of understanding it. Some way we've got of understanding it. And in this case also, down on earth, we have we've got also a different levels, and you can get two human beings, and these two human beings live in completely different worlds. Now, I mean, can you take a person like the fullback in the 49ers and the Humpty early from Fayal of Fimatulas, and to take a person like Ignatius Feinstein and say, well, yeah, you're two human beings, are they living in the same world at all? Is it the same world? And yet, the 49er, do they call him the fullback?
Quarterback.
Quarterback. Alright, he's taller than the nation. He's broader than the nation. He's got much greater muscles than the finalized. He's brawn. The nation hasn't got anything like the amount of brawn that this man has got. So it's the same thing. So a person who doesn't know, to a 49er forward, do they call them forwards? What's the matter with you?
Well, I don't know. Isn't
this
the
other things to do last night?
No,
I don't know. They call them pitchers.
No.
That's the wrong way. Pitchers
is something else. Anyway, if you take some of those people that go down to, what's that place called, Alabama? Where they
New Orleans.
New Orleans. that those people who gave down to New Orleans to go and watch this match, travel from here to New Orleans to go and watch this match, can they tell the difference between the Major High School and the quarterback? They can't tell the difference. To them, the quarterback is a far greater man than a Major Feinstein. He earns how much more than that? He earns per year probably thousands of times more than the Major Feinstein earned in his whole life. So how can the Major Feinstein compare to him? It's a different, yet it's in the, so Hashem does it, that in the same world you've got now, he's got quite different needs, this quarterback. He's got quite different needs to a Major Feinstein. Just look at the food he's got to eat. The Major Feinstein doesn't need all that. He's got different needs. He lives in a different world. Now that is only a very pale example of how we find that there are different worlds. And that is what it is all about. Now, I told you, at your request really, not as, it might have been at my instigation, but certainly it was at your request, you asked me not to stop on the subject of Ishtarshis, and to go a little bit further, which I do. Now, there is a lovely midrash. When David HaMelech finished the book of Psalms, the midrash says, Zona Olovda. For a brief moment, there entered into his own whole being, not only a feeling of great satisfaction, but also of elevation to the extent that he felt himself at that moment to be above all these. And he said to the Rebbeinu Shleilo, is there or has there ever been any being that has been able to sing praises to you as I have? Now the remarkable thing about the book of Psalms is that it covers every possible circumstance in life in which a person can find himself. Joy or sorrow, every circumstance is somehow or other covered in the book of Psalms. And it all works out that it's part of the scheme of the Rebbeinu Shleilo, and praise goes to Hashem. That is the book of Psalms. And it comes to the end of it, Zona Olovdato. There is a certain smugness. The satisfaction has overstepped the border, and now it is smugness. The elevation has overstepped the border, and now there is just a little bit of pride, and even that has gone too far. A very, very little bit of arrogance. At that moment, the frog starts croaking and says to David HaMelech, you come nowhere near me. You have never been able to sing a praise to Hashem as I sing. Now, what praise does this frog sing to Hashem? He croaks. And that's all he does. What praise does he sing to Hashem? Now, there's a remarkable midrash that we've got. And this is an extract from that midrash. It's one chapter from that midrash, and it is called Perek Shiro. It is called the chapter of song. And here it starts off with inanimate things, what they sing to Hashem. Then it starts off with vegetation, what they sing to Hashem. Then it starts off with insects and what would you call a tortoise? It's not an insect, it's not an animal.
Crustacean, okay.
Are we pardon?
Crustacean?
No, it's a reptile, amphibian.
Yes, yes, but he's not a mineral, and he's not a vegetable, and he's not an animal, and he's not an insect.
Insect is an animal.
Well, that belongs to the animal kingdom. Anyway, now I'll tell you what it is. The Torah divides the animal kingdom into animals that are less probably than a tefach off the ground, or 2 to 4 feet, less than about 6 inches off the ground. And they belong to a world of their own. So the Tzfardea belongs to that. And yet it gives us the song of the Tzfardea. And then it goes to the animal, to the birds. And it gives you the song of the bird. And then it goes to cattle and animals, and it gives you what they sing. Name anyone and I'll tell you what he sings. A lion. Let me see if I can find the lion. Let me see here. Do you know the lion isn't here?
A zebra.
Also not here. The ox is here. The ox is here, but let me see. How is it that I can't find? Strange. That the lion isn't here. The ox is here, the deer is here, the horse is here, the donkey is here, the mule is here, the camel is here. The elephant is here. The lion is here. I couldn't imagine, the lion is here. Hashem kadigo yetzei ke ish milchomo yom il. He says, Hashem, like a mighty one, mighty man of valor, like a man goes out to war. Now, can you see what he's done there, the lion? He is Gibroh. The lion is straight. That means so much to him, that is his essence. He is a greater strength than his. And he looks upon Hashem. That is he, how, what he sees in Hashem. He sees the great strength of Hashem. Goes out to war like a gibbon. Any other animal?
What about the one that croaked?
The frog. Let's see what the frog says. Now the frog falls under those animals that are very close to the ground. Tzfardea. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso LeLomboeh. Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever, says the frog. We'll probably try and understand what that is. That is what the frog says. So the frog says to do it, can't compare to what I say. You're so proud. Look what I achieved. Look at myself. As far as we are concerned, what does it mean? Croaks. Look at David Amelis. Can the two compare? Now the only way that can explain that is with his consciousness. The frog says, what am I doing upon earth? I croak. Do I ever stop croaking? I never stop. But in a higher world, what is it that I am saying? That my, what in the higher world it is, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso LeLomboeh. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. David HaMelech, did you ever rise to those heights? But that is something, those heights I can say. That is, if you go to my source, so the frog is here, a frog, but in a higher world is something else. Something else. And in a still higher world he is something else. Until he comes to his source, and at his source, Baruch Shem Shabbos Malkusel Lelomwe, blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom, forever and ever. Yes.
Excuse me, is not the song of each animal the result of the essence of that animal?
Yes, it is. You see, it is, and we've got to find that out. In the case of the frog, it's what is it that he is croaking all the time? And what is he croaking all the time? He's croaking because there is something that is so great, completely beyond him. That is the way, that is what he's croaking. But you are quite right, in each animal there is something of the essence of that animal. For example, some of them are quite strange. Let us take now the elephant, for example. The elephant, he says, "My God, you my Sef Hashem, Olam Kamashias Sef. How great are your works, Hashem, how deep are your thoughts." And then an elephant is a strange animal. Imagine that there were elephants in a certain part of the world and nowhere else, and nobody had ever been there. And this person comes back and said, "You know, I was on this island, and there I saw an animal. He was as huge as a house, and he had a nose that stretched from his face right down to the ground. It actually touched the earth. And would you believe it, he used his nose as hands. You know, he could root up a tree with his nose and wouldn't eat any leaf. Big as a house. Only it grows." Now, would anybody believe a story like that? Nobody would believe a story like that. So that is what he says. He says, "How great are your works, Hashem, how deep are your thoughts." That is what the elephant says. And so you go all out. The dog, I don't think he's got the dog. He's got a wolf and he's got a fox. Is a dog a combination of a wolf and a fox?
Well, dog is domesticated.
Yes. What about
a
giraffe?
Hasn't got a giraffe. Oh, just because it's got dogs. Come, let us bow down, and let us prostrate ourselves and bow down and bless Hashem our Maker. Some of them are very difficult to be able. But anyway, everything is here, you see. Starts off by heaven and earth and day and night and the sun and the moon and the stars and the clouds and different types of clouds and lightning and the wind and the dew and the rain and water and fountains and rivers and seas, oceans and the Leviathan and the whales and the fish and the Garden of Eden. And the wilderness, the fields, and then starts the vegetation, and it goes right through. Yes.
I understand part of what you're saying, and each one being strange, and it's fascinating. But it still bothers me that the Sfardea said what he said to David. And I think, well, the bee constantly hums her song, and if the essence is that there's something so important that the Sfardea croaks all the time, then there are other insects, there are other smaller animals that also sing their song incessantly.
There's a strange thing about the frog. In some insects it's the male that sings and the female that sings to attract. The frog, male and female, exactly the same. So that's not a reason for it. It's a big difference between the Tobi and the other. So with each one there is just something. Now, you know, there is this, this is a Gemara, how during the Moshe Rabbeinu was in the heavens above, he heard the Malachi saying, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusei Lelom Bo'ed. And he thought that this was so wonderful because it so describes Hashem that he came down to earth and he brought this with him and he gave it to us, but he said, don't use it. And the Midrash says it's like a man who goes into a palace, he's invited into a palace, and he comes out with something. He's put it into his pocket. Very beautiful piece of jewelry. And he brings it home to his wife and he gives it to his wife. And he says to her, wear it in the house, but don't wear it in public. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusei Lelom Bo'ed, and he says, gives it to us, but he said, don't say it aloud. So when we say in the Shema Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusei Lelom Bo'ed, we say it quietly. On Yom Kippur we say it aloud. There we are in a different world. We don't eat and we don't drink. We are in a different world. A world that the quarterback of the 49ers cannot possibly ever understand. Different world. There we say, and now we can say it aloud, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusei Lelom Bo'ed. But it all goes back to this particular point. Chana, do you want to ask anything?
Yes. You know, I was thinking about the frog lives in a lily pond generally, and his world, from his perspective or hers, is, you know, it sits on a lily pad and her beautiful lily, and its food comes to it. It's generally bugs that float by, and it can get them. It doesn't even have to go out really to look for its food. It just sits there and waits. And so it has a beautiful world of its own. And so in the same way that the strength of the lion is appropriate for the lion to appreciate that Hashem is even stronger, the frog in the same way is saying that Hashem's world is even more beautiful than its own.
Certainly, I accept all that. Certainly accept that. But as I say, each one of these has got something of it. And that is the way we understand it. We understand the three structures. Okay. Right. Are we talking? Yes. Seema.
Is there a difference between the force or the source of animate and inanimate objects? How can lightning praise Hashem? It's just nothing to me.
Well, just let us see what lightning has got to say. His lightning lights up the world. It sees it, the earth sees it and trembles. Gives you of what it is. It's highly poetical, of course. But in all of it is something that it's got to say. I mean, the snake has got strange thing what he said. He says, Hashem supports all the fallen and raises up those who have bent down. Because he was cursed, you see, he was upright once, and he was cursed. Hashem supports all those of him. So he's fallen, and he gets his food, Hashem supports him. So Kefahu rises up those that sin, and raises up the fallen. So everyone has got something.
I believe you mentioned before that we would learn
Sneas
from the cat. What's the
cat say
about the cat?
What the cat says, let me see what the cat says. two is here. It's a funny word. You see, I can't tell whether the for two is actually a cat.
I think a cat is also a domesticated animal.
Yes. I think that, but here it says, if you will rise yourself to the heights of the eagle, and if you will place your nest amongst the stars, from there, Hashem says, I will bring you down to earth. Now, I don't know what that is. It doesn't look any good. But I don't know whether that Chosuf is a cat. All right, each one has got something. And that is really, in the next paragraph, we've got a little bit of that again, of Ishtar Shalus. And now let us go on to where we left off last time, and that is pages 92, 93, and we've got Gimel. And now he says, the Omnom, the Yoshe Nishtana Amino Yoshe Mikoshe Orham Yunin, Shemit no Lera Besiro Vayecholis Damashi Ulohu, Kniyas Ashleimus Oki Soren, the means to be the Kino Zerfoel Vayia Velo Nifal, Gam Hashgoho Olo Bluchro, Shemishtani Vayashgoho Al Shehor Hamunin. Now, he says, makes a very important statement here. He's made in the previous paragraph, what he said was that the way it all works is Hashem is here, and then there are the transcendental beings, we call them the angels, the transcendental beings which are divided into angels and into forces, and then it comes down into the spiritual, into the physical world in whatever form it might be. Now, everything is affected, everything is really governed and affected, everything in this physical world is governed and affected by the forces and by the transcendental beings that Hashem has created. Now, that is something that we've got to try and understand, and I'm going to endeavor to explain it to you to the best of my ability. And so, when we have a tiger here upon earth, and a man goes up to a tiger and wants to pat him, and the tiger pounces on him, tears him to pieces and eats him up, that is what the tiger got to do. That is the force, the source of the tiger is that when it comes down to earth, that is what it does. Am I making myself clear?
Yes.
And that is with everything that there is. Whatever it does here upon earth, its source is in the heavens above, and it is able to do it. So you find something, an animal that becomes domesticated, an elephant, an Indian elephant. You can domesticate an Indian elephant and it becomes a very useful animal. He becomes an animal, he carries heavy loads, and he does a tremendous amount of good work. It's all there. It's either there actively or potentially, it is all there. So every creature is passive. It expresses itself, whatever it does, it comes down from its source, goes throughout all these worlds until it comes down, but it is passive. Now what the Derech Hashem says, the great exception is man. Man is the only creature that God has created that isn't passive. It's the only thing that God has created that isn't passive. The man is active. So the man isn't really governed by these forces. He can choose between good and evil, right and wrong. He's able to choose. So what he does is not the result of a force, and that he can't help himself. The bee makes honey. Can't do anything else but makes honey.
You can try and explain to the bee, it's not necessary for you to make so much honey. How much do you need? It could go on making honey. That is, with a human being, it's not like that. You will get human beings that never stop working. Always want to get more wealth and more wealth and more wealth. You'll get human beings that stop and say, I've got enough. You've got, I know people who work several hours a day and then they stop. Says, I've worked for today and now I can spend the rest of the time I can spend devoting myself to Avodas HaKodesh. You get other people who work out. There's a man, I'll tell you, he's Rabbi Rubenstein. And he's an attorney and he's got an expert at real estate. He works 1 month a year. The rest of the time, he's got a kollel in Connecticut somewhere. And there he sits and he learns and he works on that kollel, the hotel. 1 month a year he works. 1 month, he says, a year, I get enough for my whole year's living. Don't have to work more than that. Now, a bee, you can't explain that to a bee. A bee knows that she's got to work and make honey all the time. It is, a bee is passive. A human being is active. And that is what he says. Since the human being exercises his bechira, his predetermination of will, therefore he is active. So he says, he's a poel umeinia. He is active and he does. Below nifol, and he's not passive. So the ashgoch, or the providence that there is for a human being, is different from the providence that there is for an animal or for an insect or for something that is inanimate. All other creatures, anything that Hashem has created, is passive. So whatever it does comes from a force above. With a human being, it's not like that. He's got three bechira, so he isn't governed by these concerns. Now that is a very important statement that he makes. Let us go on a little bit further. He says, Hashem's providence there has got to be different. That Hashem, there the providence is, where he watches over man and over everything that he does, he's a free agent. He can do what he likes and he cannot do what he likes. He's a free agent. So what is the providence there? What is the watchfulness of Hashem? The watchfulness of Hashem is to see what he does. And then to carry on from there. And to give him his reward and to give him his punishment from what he does. That is the Ashbuch of Hashem. For an animal, it's not like that. Animal doesn't get any reward, an animal doesn't get any punishment. All the Ashbuch of the animal is where Hashem gives him the power to do what his nature is. That is the Ashbuch for the animal. Now, is that clear? Any questions about Sima?
Well, I remember learning that when you have
to self-maintain,
that people are not
going to
have
a bigger
choice.
They're
going to be more limited.
Yes, it's going to be another type of limitation. I've got to explain that to you on two levels. The limitation there is because it is so clear to us, like Rachel is probably, she's a very you're a highly intelligent child, people really over the stage, but I'm sure there was a stage that Rachel was in, that if you had Shabbos candles burning on the table, she would want to put her hands into the flame. But she doesn't do it anymore. Now, you can't say that she uses her bechira. She uses a predetermination of will not to put it in. It's not necessary. It would be a waste to use it for that. Did you follow? So, when Moshiach comes, things will be so clear that we won't have that. We won't have the gates of Orah to do it, which is really not such a good thing. But that is the other nature of things. That is what it will be. That is the one thing I want you to understand. The other thing I want you to understand is there are degrees in the Bechira. and no two people have got the same type of material. Those people who on Shabbos, travel on Shabbos to be on Sunday, was it Sunday or Monday the 49 again?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday. To be in Alabama, is it Alabama?
Louisiana.
So they go to travel to the Louisiana on a Shabbos to see the game. I mean, such a Yetzer Hora. Now, I don't even have to exercise my predetermination to decide not to go. I'm going to be struggling for it. Now, who got that? Because, so that is a norm, but there'll still be areas in which it will have to be exercised. But they'll be on a considerably higher level. That is the way that works. All right. So it is there, this is a very important thing, dependent on the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So there Hashem, it is necessary for Hashem to watch over, to exercise providence, to care over the human being, to see what he does and what he doesn't do, and so that he gives him his reward accordingly. Of course it goes much further, as we've already learned, what everything a human being does affects the world round about him, affects everything round about him. So those are the things that Hashem watches, which is different than from the animal world. So he says, so it works out as follows, that his deeds are watched over. All his deeds are watched over. And his deeds are watched over to such an extent that Hashem watches the fruits of his deeds, what it brings about. That is where the Azbuch of the human being comes. So it's a different one. For since man is an active agent, the Hashem doesn't, so to say, be Mashgiach, looks after everything that a person does. That depends on his own will, what he wants to do. But the things that he does now, those are the things that Hashem watches over. The Veli Masha Ein Shait Bishi Ora Mirim. And this, of course, doesn't apply to any other species. She Yishayim Nifolim Velo Thorim Ve Einam Elik Vi Masha Roy Ve Sashli Va Min Ahu Ke Mo Masha Hushlush Besholstyo She Neisir Yashgoch Ele Kai Me Shoresh Yuba Nofo Ke Mi Ma Ma She Teva Ve Choka Shoresh Neisir Yishayim. Now Yambi makes a very important statement, and he goes into what is really a machlokes. He says, as far as man is concerned, we know he's an active agent, he's not a passive agent. When it comes to animals, and it comes to vegetation, and it comes to the mineral kingdom, he said there the hashgocha of Hashem is not on every animal, it is only on the species. So Hashem watches that the species continues, but not every, he doesn't watch every animal. So what happens to an animal if a lion attacks a deer for his food? Hashem doesn't make it that is the deer that's going to be caught. That is not the type of Ashgocha. Now that is the view of the Deir Hashem. Have you got the idea? The view of there is another one school represented by the Derech Hashem. There is another school that says, no, Hashem's providence extends over every single animal, over every blade of grass. There's a two different schools. Now, it's never good to belong to two different schools. Very good thing. You must know where you stand. So we are going to adopt the school where we stand, the one we have studied. And that is the Derech Hashem. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. Any questions on that? Yes.
If Hashem provides for the species, but not necessarily for the individual.
In the species.
In the animal kingdom.
Yes. All vegetables.
All vegetables, but I'm thinking more of the animal kingdom.
Yes.
Then the first, I don't want to use it as concept. Idea of man, but man was just made one. So that would that not apply to humankind? It couldn't apply to man.
Well, what he's saying is that the human being, God created only one human being, cares for each one. Every human being that is created, Hashem cares for. He's created that human being.
Okay.
Now, but that human being's actions are not determined by any force outside him. In animals, his actions are determined by a force outside him, by the human being is not. But the human being is judged for what he does. That is where Hashem's providence really comes into play. When he has done something, now, the effect of it, the reward, the punishment, that is where his providence comes into play. But he isn't forced in any way by any outside agent. That is the point that he makes. Now that is an important thing to remember. And this is the thesis of the Derech Hashem. That Hashem is for humans, for the animals, for vegetable kingdom. He is the Ashvoka is to preserve the men, but not on the individual one. And of course there are schools within schools. For example, there's one school that they say that if a man goes out to hunt an animal, the Ashkoche is that he will catch an animal, but which animal he will catch doesn't matter. The Ashkoche is that he will catch an animal. Some schools go further and they say that he will catch an animal and it will be a particular animal. That all depends, but all you've got to know is that there are these two schools, and the Derech Hashem school is that it's for the human being that there is the Ashkoche process. Hashem cares for each one, watches him. Now you've got to understand that there's another term of Ashkoche too, and that is that the care that Hashem has for the human being, that is not influencing the human being, but just as Hashem cares, human being is ill, Hashem looks after him, cares, sees that he gets well. That is the care that he has. So I'm making a distinction at this stage between the providence and the care, which will become clearer as we go on. He says, Kepiru, Avol Avinu Enoshi, She'ish Poli Mumanim Kemoshe Zacharnu, She'ish Poli Mumanim Kemoshe Zacharnu, Inoitzori She'yushtat Befrot, Kepima She'yigmu Lohem Maaseihem, So he says the human being who is active, he's an active agent in everything that he does. This type of Ashgoka doesn't apply to the human being, that he is influenced by any outside force. In what he does, he's not influenced by any outside force. Now even that we've got to define. He's not influenced by any outside force. He's a free agent. He can do exactly as he pleases. He's absolutely free. But Hashem judges him on what he's done. He's done that. Now that act he's judged. There is where the real Ashkoka begins. Is that clear? And that brings us to the end of that chapter and to those ideas. Any questions on that? Yes.
I don't know if I can say the theory, but there are external forces that good and evil is really going to
be. Yes. Now, I was waiting for that question.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
The question is, Sima says that there are forces. There's a force of good and there's a force of evil, and that affects man. Now let us say a man wants to go to Alabama, is that what
his name
is? Yeah. A man wants to go to Louisiana. He is affected by his companion. He is affected by the atmosphere. He is affected by his club. All those people around him, of course he's affected by it. Is he able not to go if he doesn't want to go? That's the point. But if he doesn't want to go, he can be, there's all this evil. But if he doesn't want to be, he can do it. In California, all kinds of beliefs and things, people do all sorts of things. Now, I'm in fairness, the children are doing that. Well, what can I do? These are the times. What can I do? So, he doesn't have to say that. He can work very hard to stop his child from doing that. These are the times. He takes. So, he doesn't have to do that. He is influenced by.
All right. Now, we will have done. I think we have done really the most difficult part even of chapter 2. Even that part of things. From chapter 2 it's a much easier thing. But there are a couple of foundations that we have laid down. Please just be careful that there's a difference between, I'm telling the minds and explaining them, providence and caring. Providence is the way we're using the word providence. The influence from spiritual forces. Our spiritual forces influence what a creature does. Man doesn't fall under that. Then there is another type of life that I think cares for the person. And there's such a thing as the average Ishmael. For example, a person might try and Hashem helps him. Cares for him and helps him. Something that happens always. That Hashem goes directly to the man and helps him do something. Sometimes the man has got certain ability and Hashem will guide him so that he can use that ability. That is caring. So we're going to make a distinction between caring and providence. Leave these people there about that type of providence with the individual. Clearly with the difference, which is people that like that. Right, thank you, ladies.